Good evening. It's good to be here this Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study service. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 11. We want to begin with verse 17, read down through verse 21. Verse 21, Lord willing, we'll be closing that out this evening with the thoughts that we have. It says, therefore, say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. All those things that they had persisted in, which caused them to be scattered into the lands that they were sent. They're going to put away. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, those that last week we said, but the unrepentant, they don't get rid of their detestable things and their abominations. He says, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. So last week, we looking at verse 21, we looked at the unrepentant. Those that just will not repent of their sins and trespasses. They don't see a need to repent of them. They like them, and so they persist in them. They continue on in them. He says tonight, he said, I will recompense their way, their evil, their detestable things, their abominable thing, their abominations. I will recompense their way upon their own heads. In other words, they persist in evil and wickedness, and I'm going to visit them, their evil, with evil. They're not going to think my desolation, my ruin, my judgment is going to be good. And it won't be. Saith the Lord God. Not saith Ezekiel.
Right. Amen.
But saith the Lord God.
Amen.
Tonight, we want to consider the thought that God will repay. The Lord said He would. Does He keep His promise? He's not a God that he should lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. God keeps his word. So the Lord said that he would recompense their ways upon their own heads. He would punish them according to what they deserve. What's that mean? Well, it means he's not going to show mercy. You see, to those that repent, he's merciful. They deserve, they deserve, just like these who are unrepentant, they deserve the judgment of God, the condemnation of God upon them. And as we bring that into to mankind, you and I who are saved, you and I who have repented of our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ has granted us repentance and granted us faith. We deserve condemnation because we're sinners. But because of repentance and faith, he's merciful. He's gracious. And he doesn't hold our sin against us any longer. Just what we read there in those preceding verses, verses 18, 19, and 20, concerning those that he brings out of the lands, and they have given up their detestable things and their abominations. They've repented. They've gotten rid of, they've turned away from those things. They've turned to God. And so God is going to be merciful with them, gracious with them. But the unrepentant, those who will not repent, he's going to recompense. He's going to repay. He's going to give them what they deserve. Yes. Amen. And that is the condemnation of God. He's going to give it by, here in the Ezekiel's prophecy and Jeremiah's prophecy and Isaiah's prophecy. He's going to give it to them by the pestilence and the famine, by the sword. He's going to give it to them. They're going to be, they've been scattered in, a remnant has been scattered into the four winds, been taken into captivity. The land has never been fully restored. But we know there's coming a day when it is going to be fully restored. But the unrepentant, God will repay. Turn with me back a few chapters here to the 7th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. We had this back there when we were going through that 7th chapter. And he said in verse 4, he said, "And mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity. But I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I'm the Lord." Yes, there's coming a day when they're going to know that he's the Lord. There's coming a day when all those who've not repented of their sins and trespasses are going to know that he is the Lord. That he is God and that he rules over all. And that he is a righteous God. He's a holy God. And he keeps his word.
Amen.
He keeps his word. Now turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 18, we read, according to their deeds, according to their works, according to that which they have done, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries. They're his adversaries, and he's going to deal with them in fury. And this is not just the house of Israel, but this is the whole world. The whole world, all of mankind, who have not repented of their sins. Recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. Just establishing the fact that he will repay, he will recompense, and he will recompense according to their works. You see, why doesn't he recompense us according to our works? Well, he does. We have heard and we have obeyed the word of the gospel. You see, we have heard with the ear the gospel. We have obeyed the gospel. And so he's going to repay us according to our works. What? According to the benefits of the gospel, which is everlasting life through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The book of Hosea. The book of Hosea in chapter 9. Hosea chapter 9. And verse 7. We read here in verse 7, the days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. For the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. Here he says in the book of Hosea that the day of visitation has come, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord in visiting the iniquities of the people has come. The day of recompense, the day when he's going to repay has come. And they are going to know it. Now, most of these that we've read to you, these three passages of Scripture, have been as it has to do with Israel and the nation of Israel. And you know through our studies in the book of Ezekiel that there is a remnant. There's a remnant according to grace. There are to be saved, but the unrepentant are going to experience the visitation, the recompense of the day of the Lord. But in comparison with those thoughts and what he has spoken and promised to Israel, he's promised the same to all mankind. That's his promise to all mankind. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. And chapter 2. In verse 17. And this the Lord God commanded the man and the woman. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. We have the commandment. We have the law. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There is the judgment for breaking the commandment of God. In the day that you break my commandment, in the day that you disobey me, ye shall die. That's what he told man. Mankind. He tells us, goes on to tells man that all through the generations. From Adam to this present day, that's what his verdict is. Amen. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John. First John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin. You say, well, that's a sin. I thought you were talking about the commandment given to Adam and his disobedience. Is not disobedience against the law of God, the commandment of God, is that not sin?
Yes, it is. Amen.
Let's see if it is. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Whose law? God's law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Man is lawless. Man wants to do his own thing, wants to do his own way. Therefore, he doesn't give God first place. He doesn't worship God, he worships himself. He worships man and the desires and passions of man is what he worships. He doesn't even do the last six commandments that deal with commandments toward our fellow man. Well, I love mankind. I love my neighbors. You do? You do? Honor your father and your mother. That doesn't just mean while you're under their roof.
Amen.
You honor them all the days of your life. Even after they're laid in the ground and going on to be with the Lord, you continue to honor them.
Amen.
Thou shalt not kill. Now that's man to man. That's not governments. Governments have the responsibility to execute the justice of God.
Amen.
In carrying out God's command. And that is, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, his blood shall be shed.
Amen.
And that's what he said to governments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You see, all these are against our fellow man. Lying's against your fellow man. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. nor his ox, nor his manservant, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So man is a lawbreaker. He breaks God's law. He doesn't honor God, and he doesn't honor God's creation. That which God has created, he's a lawbreaker. And so what are we told? In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, in verse 4, behold, all souls are mine. I am the Lord God. I am omnipotent. I am the ruler. I am their creator. And I mete out justice. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Oh, that's what he said to Israel in the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament days. All right. What does he say in the book of Romans in chapter 6? The book of Romans chapter 6. Go ahead, turn there. Everybody here and under the sound of my voice should be able to quote it. But just in case, Romans 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. We've just established the fact that all men are sinners. Mm-hmm. All men are sinners. Yes. We've all broken the law of God. Romans chapter 3 takes us to that. Amen. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Every one of us deserve death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift that he gives to some, and who does he give it to? He gives it to the repentant and faith. To those who have repentance and faith. He gives everlasting life. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Not his own righteousness, but the righteousness of God. Therefore, he had everlasting life. And to every man, woman, boy or girl who has faith, which comes with repentance, God counts it to him for righteousness, his righteousness. They have everlasting life. Now, to the unrepentant, there is a day of visitation. There is a day of recompense coming. 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 6. seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. He's talking to saved folks here. He's talking to church members at the church of Thessalonica. Amen. He's speaking to us, saved individuals tonight. The wicked, they trouble us on every hand. They vex our righteous soul day after day. Living around them, amongst them. And as time goes on, we are experiencing in my lifetime even more ridicule of God's people. So it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. The day of visitation, the day of recompense is coming. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, they are the unrepentant, amen, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. You see, there is a day of visitation coming. There is a day of recompense coming when he is going to be glorified and all those who are with him likewise. Now, to go into a little bit more detail of what is told us here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 19. Book of Revelation in chapter 19. And here we see the day of visitation. The day of visitation. After the tribulation period. Mm-hmm. After the great whore is put down. Defeated. Mm-hmm. After the marriage of the Lamb. Verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Who is that sitting on the white horse? None other than Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word. John 1:1. John 1:14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. That is, those who are resurrected, are caught up with him in the air at the beginning of the tribulation period. Just before the beginning of the tribulation period, they're caught up to heaven. We're with him there in heaven. He's married his bride, the church, and all the guests are there. These are the armies that come back with him. That come back with him. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And the fine linen is what? Well, if you draw a line from that verse over to verse 8, you'll have it. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. That's the righteousness which we're clothed in. The righteousness of God. And out of his mouth, here it comes. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. He's preparing a great supper in this judgment that he's raining out, that he's recompensing upon the heads of the unrepentant. And he's summoning the fowls of the air to come and feast. That ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So the beast and the false prophet are taken, and they're cast into the lake of fire. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now that's part of the recompense, but that's not the final recompense. That sounds awful right there, doesn't it? Sounds awful. But notice the final recompense. We have the final recompense in chapter 20. After the millennial reign of Christ, Satan is loosed out of the bottomless pit for a season. He goes about deceiving the nations. And Jesus Christ puts them down. And we're getting prepared to enter the eternal ages. It said in verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That is those who died without Christ. They died as enemies against Christ. They came to do battle against Christ. And he slew them.
Amen.
And now they're standing at the great white throne judgment. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Listen, those books aren't there for him to know who gets to enter heaven and who doesn't get to enter heaven. Because this is the great white throne judgment. And all that are there and abiding under that judgment are judged to the lake of fire. Those books are open to show them, see, your name was not written down here before the foundation of the world, and here's all your evil doings. You never repented of your sins. You didn't think you had any evil against me. Here it is. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The lake of fire. How long is that? For eternity. For eternity. Never no end. You've had your evil recompensed upon your head. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen, my friend. God will repay. God will repay. But the unrepentant, God will repay. We'll close there tonight with those thoughts and go on next week with verses 22 and 23. And we see the glory of God departing the city. The glory of... Listen, my friend. When He recompenses all your doings upon your head, there will be no glory of God in the lake of fire. And you shall know that He is the Lord God. Prayer request tonight. We have a new president, the 46th president of the United States, and I don't know what you think about that. It doesn't matter what you think about it. Doesn't matter what your politics are. Doesn't matter whether you voted for him or not. As a child of God, whether you did vote for him or whether you didn't, you have an obligation. You have an obligation to pray for him. Amen. I trust that for the last 4 years you were praying for President Trump. And I'm telling you tonight that you have an obligation for the next 4 years or however long President Biden is president to pray for him. Amen. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 1, he said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And that includes for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There you go. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. In other words, that we might be able to live our godly lives, and that we might be able to live godly lives in peace and quiet. Doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter who the king is. You're to pray to that end. You say, oh, well, what good does it do to pray? Well, here, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 21. I hope you don't have that attitude towards prayer. Sometime I exhibit enough of that attitude by my lack of praying. And I'm sure you could say the same.
Amen.
But the book of Proverbs, chapter 21 and verse 1. Here's why you ought to pray. That you might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord.
Amen.
As the rivers of water, just as he steers the rivers of water, he turneth it, the king's heart, he turneth it whithersoever he will.
Amen.
You don't like the way the king's heart is? Well, you better be praying. Even if you do like the king's way the king's heart is, you better be praying. Because, well, he's a man, just like you. And sometimes our heart is one way, and sometimes our heart is another way. But you want his heart to always be turned by the Lord so that you can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness, giving praise unto the Lord. That's our responsibility. Now, what did I do in my prayer list?